Hello, Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas! Yeah! I'm excited for Christmas. I just want to thank you all for being here. Thank you for taking this time to celebrate Christmas with family, with community. I think it's important that we are together, and I recognize it has been an odd year, and so I'm just thankful that we're all able to be here. And would you guys stand up with me? I want to just give the Lord some honor and pray and turn this over. So Father, we truly are thankful that we can be here. God, we're thankful that you're here with us. And Father, I pray a blessing over this time. I pray that your Spirit would move in a mighty way in each one of our lives, that today would not just be another day of coming into a church building, but God, we would have an explosion of hope and faith and grace in our lives today. Lord, we love you. We give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.
During the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God's presence to an unmarried girl named Mary, living in Nazareth, a village in Galilee. She was engaged to a man named Joseph, a true descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Grace to you, young woman, for the Lord is with you, and so you are anointed with great favor." Mary was deeply troubled over the words of the angel and bewildered over what this may mean for her. But the angel reassured her, saying, "Do not yield to your fear, Mary, for the Lord has found delight in you and has chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift. You will become pregnant with a baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be supreme and will be known as the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will enthrone him as a king, on his ancestor David's throne. He will reign as king of Israel forever, and his reign will have no limit." Mary said, "But how could this happen? I am still a virgin." Gabriel answered, "The Spirit of holiness will fall upon you, and Almighty God will spread his shadow of power over you in a cloud of glory. This is why the child born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your aged aunt Elizabeth has also become pregnant with a son. The barren one is now in her sixth month. Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary responded, saying, "This is amazing. I will be a mother for the Lord. As his servant, I accept whatever he has for me. May everything you have told me come to pass." And the angel left her.
Thank you. the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus ordered that the first census be taken throughout his empire. Quirinius was the governor of Syria at that time. Everyone had to travel to his or her hometown to complete the mandatory census. So Joseph and his fiancée Mary left Nazareth, a village in Galilee, and journeyed to their hometown in Judea, to the village of Bethlehem, King David's ancient home. They were required to register there, since they were both direct descendants of David. Mary was pregnant and nearly ready to give birth. When they arrived in Bethlehem, Mary went into labor, and there she gave birth to Jesus, her firstborn son. After wrapping the newborn baby in strips of cloth, they laid him in a feeding trough, since there was no available space in any upper room in the village.
Field near Bethlehem, there were shepherds watching over their flocks. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them, lighting up the field with the blazing glory of God. And the shepherds were terrified. But the angel reassured them, saying, "Don't be afraid, for I have come to bring you good news, the most joyous news the world has ever heard. And it is for everyone, everywhere. For today, in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. He is the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. You will recognize him by this miracle sign. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a feeding trough." Then all at once, a vast number of glorious angels appeared, the very armies of heaven, and they all praised God, singing, "Glory to God in the highest realms of heaven, for there is peace and a good hope given to the sons of men."
When the choir of angels disappeared back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go. Let's hurry and find this word that is born in Bethlehem and see for ourselves what the Lord has revealed to us." So they ran into the village and found their way to Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in a feeding trough. Upon seeing this miraculous sign, the shepherds recounted what had just happened. Everyone who heard the shepherd's story was astonished by what they were told. But Mary treasured all these things in her heart and often pondered what they meant. The shepherds returned to their flock, ecstatic over what had happened. They praised God and glorified Him for all they had heard and seen for themselves, just like the angels had said. Yeah, you can go ahead and sit down. I'm going to share a couple of things with you. Oh, I'm going to use the big boy podium. I'm going to pretend like I know what I'm doing here. So if you're anything like me, you can easily remember last year at this same time, and maybe you were here, maybe you weren't here, maybe you were somewhere else, but maybe like me, you had a lot of thoughts and hope and things you figured were going to take place in 2020. Like it was a year of vision. It was a year of expectation. It was a year of anything being possible. Like we were moving into a whole new time, a whole new season. There were a lot of prophetic words that were brought forth about 2020, which I don't think were wrong, but we had our own way. We figured it was going to play out and happen. And so I remember hearing about this thing called coronavirus in China. How many of you, like me, thought there's no way this is coming here, right? Like, maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but I remember having that exact thought. This is a bunch of hooey, whatever, you know, there's no way that this is going to affect my life. No way that this is going to, maybe it hits New York. Now, I personally believe it was here long before they actually said it was, but whatever. I just personally thought there's no way this is going to interrupt the plans that I know are going to take place in my life in 2020. And I remember in March, things starting to really get heavy in this community. I mean, it went from being in China to being maybe in the United States to being in our backyard, to being in our communities, to being involved in people's lives that were really close to us. And it seemed like this darkness that was starting to come over the earth. It seemed like this thing was sort of just creeping up on us. And before you know it, I mean, there were things that we knew were dark, like, but there were things that just sort of creeped up. And before you know it, we were just sitting in this place of real darkness. I remember losing freedoms, things changing. There are stores that had to be shut down, and there are stores that even now are not able to be open at all. There was a darkness. There was a thing that came over the earth that it just seemed like we didn't have a lot of hope. It just seemed like there wasn't anything to really hold on to if your eyes were in the wrong place. John 10:10 says, "The thief, our enemy, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy." And I believe that we have seen the effects of the enemy stealing and killing and destroying all that he can. We've struggled to find a source of hope to hold on to. Some thought it might come in the form of an election, but we know how that turned out so far. Maybe God is stripping away the things we try and hold on to, a false hope. Maybe this is what you feel like right now. Maybe this is where you are right now and you don't know where to turn. Maybe you feel like hope is gone. Maybe you feel like there's a lack of hope or anything to really have hope in. Maybe you even struggle with the future and how that's going to look. Maybe you've even struggled with your own life. Maybe you've put your hope in a vaccine. If the vaccine would just come, maybe it would help. But I want to tell you there's a real hope. A real hope. A hope that brings light back into our lives, even when there seems to be great darkness. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings, a spiritual nation, set apart, devoted ones, God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience His marvelous light." He did this so that you would broadcast His glorious wonders throughout the world. In the very beginning, John 1 says, "In the very beginning was a living expression." He was already there, and the living expression was with God, yet fully God. And through His creative inspiration, this living expression made all things, for nothing has existed apart from Him. Life came into being because of Him, and for His life is light for all humanity. And this living expression is the light that bursts through gloom. The light that darkness could not diminish. There is only one source of hope, and that is Jesus. For this is the hope of our salvation. But hope means that we must trust and wait for what is still unseen. For why would we need to hope for something we already have? That's Romans chapter 8. Romans 15:13 says this, "Now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you can trust in Him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life and His superabundance until you radiate with hope." Listen, there's only one thing to put your hope in, and that's Jesus. If your hope is in anything else in this time, the darkness will overcome all things. Listen, the darkness was never meant to be greater than the light. The light of the world is Jesus. And as long as we have Jesus in us, we have all hope. Right? This, I believe, if we will allow ourselves to see this the right way, I know I've said a little bit of this, but 2020, we can actually see this as a spurring on toward hope, toward light, toward all the things that God designed and desires for us, not a place of darkness or despair or frustration or any of those things, but we can see them the way God sees them, and it was meant to bring a light to us and not a darkness. So today, tonight, right now, as I get ready to light my light, I actually bought a lantern I was going to light, but I feel like this is a little easier for me right now. Too many things in my hands. But I believe that as we allow the light of God to burst forth in us with a level of hope, a new hope, to see a nation changed, to see even our very neighborhoods, our community, our state, and ultimately our nation and the world changed, it must start with one light. It must start with one desire, for hope only comes through Jesus. I want those who I've asked to come and help me. Watch how easy this is. My light is now about to touch someone else's life, whose light will go about and begin to touch others' lives, who touch others' lives, who touch others' lives, who bring about a level of hope that out of this great darkness that we've been in, we will begin to see a great light that will take place. And it starts
with one act of hope. If you don't know Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, if you've not asked Jesus into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior, there's no day like the present. There's no time like now. I would encourage you to come and at minimum, come find me. Talk to me about this. I want to share the gospel of Jesus with you and how you find this hope. For those of you who already have Jesus, which I think is probably most of you in this room, I want to encourage you to dig deep. Reach down deep into your spirit and find that hope that radiates inside of you. And so as we continue on in this service, allow Holy Spirit to come on you and show you this hope that's inside of you. Thank you.
The last thing I want to share with you is this. Sometimes I've struggled with the idea of blowing the candles out because I just encouraged you to let your light shine. But as I was sitting here, I just felt like the Lord said, now the light is part of you. So you need nothing to, right? The light, you needed something to get you started, but now it's a part of you. So you can let go of the immature things, walk around in maturity that is part of you. And so tonight, I just want to, we're going to blow these candles out, but there will be some baskets at the back that you can drop them in. So I'm so thankful that you all came. I'm thankful we got to be here together. I want to encourage you, take to heart the words I spoke to you because I believe them, their life. And the Lord does not want us to be discouraged in any way. So I think we should all blow these out together. So 1, 2, 3. Yeah. So Father, I just pray blessing over everyone as we go. We do have one more song we're going to sing, and then you can be dismissed. Go have a good time with your families. Bless you all. Merry Christmas. Love you guys.